This has been a year of great political change for Massachusetts. It marked the end of the Kennedy dynasty that began when John F. Kennedy first won a seat in Congress in 1946. With the death of Senator Ted Kennedy this year, Massachusetts lost its most powerful advocate in Washington. WBUR political reporter Fred Tice looks at the implications of that loss in a conversation with WBUR's Bob Oakes.
Fred, I have to say that while the death of Senator Kennedy in August was long expected, the state, for several days, was just the same, locked in shock and grief.
Yeah, it really was, Bob. I have to say, though, the morning that we learned of the death of Ted Kennedy, I walked out of my house and I started talking to people in East Weymouth at the coffee shops, at the gas station, folks getting ready to go to work from the train station. My biggest shock was to hear how many people here in Massachusetts, even on the day that he died, had no kind words for Ted Kennedy. But there were definitely a minority of people. Overwhelmingly, the great majority of people felt a great outpouring of emotion, a great sense of loss. And you could hear it from people such as Jack Cantor, who traveled from Belmont to the Kennedy Library in Dorchester.
He was remarkable. He could have been anything and loved all his life, but he was a man who really respected people.
It was amazing to see how many people lined the streets the day that the Kennedy family held a procession through Boston when Kennedy's body traveled from the compound in Hyannisport to the Kennedy Library to lie in repose, and also to see the political intelligence of the Kennedy family and their response to the crowds. They waved, they smiled, and at the Kennedy Library, they came out to talk to the people in line. They introduced themselves. They thanked people for coming, and they posed for pictures with the mourners. The Kennedys acknowledged that the outpouring was not about them, not about the Kennedy family, but about the people who turned out to pay their respects.
And then there was the funeral attended by four presidents. President Obama delivered the eulogy. We all heard it. And Fred, you were there. What do you most remember?
Well, the most moving moment of all to me, Bob, was not when any dignitary spoke, but when Ted Kennedy Jr. talked about his father. When he was 12, Senator Kennedy's son was diagnosed with bone cancer. And a few months later, he was struggling with an artificial leg, and his dad insisted that they go sledding.
The hill was very slick, and as I struggled to walk, I slipped and I fell on the ice, and I started to cry. And I said, I can't do this. I said, I'll never be able to climb up that hill. And he lifted me up in his strong, gentle arms and said something I will never forget. He said, I know you can do it. There is nothing that you can't do. We're going to climb that hill together, even if it takes us all day. Sure enough, he held me around my waist, and we slowly made it to the top.
On that very long day of Senator Kennedy's funeral, after the funeral here in Boston, his body was brought to Arlington National Cemetery, where it now lies next to his brothers, John and Bobby. The funeral was on a Saturday. But by the next week, Fred, the race to succeed Ted Kennedy was already on.
Yes, Bob, it really was. Within days, Governor Deval Patrick scheduled an election, and Attorney General Martha Coakley took out her nomination papers. But she was alone in the field for a week or so because all the others were waiting to see if one of the Kennedys would jump in the race. And it was not until after Labor Day, on Labor Day, Joe Kennedy said he would not run for his uncle's seat, that other candidates announced that they would run.
I think we all political watchers in Massachusetts and beyond, expected a seat of this stature to draw a galaxy of well-known political figures to the race, but we never really saw that.
No, we never did. There was just one congressman, Mike Capuano, who decided to run. All the others decided to stay where they were in the House. City Year co-founder Alan Casey came in, and Celtics co-owner Steve Pagliuca also jumped into the race, but that was it.
And on the Republican side, Andy Card, former Bush White House chief of staff, also decided to stay out of the race, even though his name was floated for a while.
That's right, leaving the field for Scott Brown, really, essentially.
And that state Senator Scott Brown from Wrentham. And then, in the meantime, up on Beacon Hill, the Democrats in the legislature push through legislation to give Governor Patrick the power to appoint an interim successor to Ted Kennedy, who happened to be Paul Kirk, longtime Kennedy confidant. Governor Patrick argued on WBUR that it was essential for Massachusetts not to be down one senator over this past fall.
When you think about the momentous change legislation that is pending in the Congress today, Massachusetts needs two voices.
And from the Democrats' perspective, the governor turned out to be right. The interim senator, Paul Kirk, was the 60th vote on Christmas Eve when the Senate passed its version of the historic reform of health care that Ted Kennedy fought so long for.
Martha Coakley, the attorney general, began her race for Ted Kennedy's seat as the favorite, and none of the men running against her on the Democratic side were able to change that dynamic. They never cracked her during the short Senate primary race. Massachusetts has never elected a woman to the U.S. Senate. How big a factor was that in the primary, do you think, Fred?
Definitely a factor. Women and women fundraisers really helped Coakley to get her head start in the primary race. She raised a lot of money through Emily's List, an organization that seeks to place women who support legalized abortion in elected office.
And Coakley now faces a Republican state Senator Scott Brown and the independent candidate, Libertarian Joseph Kennedy, in the January 19th special election.
And we've already heard this week Scott Brown complaining that somehow Coakley is absent from the race because he wants some attention, obviously. He is going to have even less time to get the voters' attention than Coakley's Democratic opponents had.
Just a little less than 3 weeks to go before Election Day again, January 19th. And Coakley, at this juncture, is still very much the front runner, Fred.
Much as Scott Brown is going to try to change that dynamic.
Okay. WBUR political reporter Fred Tice, thanks a lot and Happy New Year, Fred.
Happy New Year to you, Bob.
WBUR's Sarah Bush helped produce this report on the loss of Senator Kennedy and the race to succeed him. You can listen to all of our features and interviews about the late Ted Kennedy on our website, WBUR.org.